Blog Talk Radio.
Never in the field of human conflict was so much owed by so many to so few. I hope, indeed I pray, that we shall not be found unworthy of our victory if after toil and tribulation it is granted to us. For the rest, we have to gain the victory. That is our task.
Let us therefore brace ourselves to our duty, and so bear ourselves that if the British Empire and its commonwealths last for 1,000 years, men will still say, this was their finest hour.
We shall not fail or falter, we shall not weaken or tire, neither the sudden shock of battle nor the long-drawn trials of vigilance and exertion will wear us down. Give us the tools, and we will finish the job.
We shall go on to the end. We shall fight with growing confidence and growing strength. We shall defend our island, whatever the cost may be. We shall fight in the fields and in the streets. We shall fight in the hills. We shall never surrender.
You have tried to change my country. You've tried to change my life. No one ever asked me if I thought that this was right. It's time for us to tell you that we will go through hell to defend our country and to help BDL. I'm proud to be an Englishman and I'm going to be free. I won't forget the men who died to get that right to me. And we will stand up against you and defend England every day. There's no doubt we love this land. We'll save England and the UK. Lied to all the people and tried to take away their rights. But we won't let you sell this land, not without a fight. It's time for us to tell you that you can go to hell. It's time for us to stand and fight and join the EDL. I'm proud to be an Englishman and I'm going to be free. I won't forget the men who died to give that right to me. And we will stand up against you and defend England every day. There's no doubt we love this land. To save England and the UK. Forget the men who died to get that right to me. And we will stand up against you and defend England every day. There's no doubt we love this land. So save England and the UK.
Most certainly do love this land. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is the English Defence League radio show, broadcasting live on blogtalkradio.com. English Defence League radio show, the voice of the EDL. And the producer and the co-host of the show tonight is our very own Kel Fritzy, a.k.a. Red Fox Blogger. Tonight, yes, it's a year after Lee Rigby's death, as I remember Lee, and that's our very own
Kel. Kel, sorry, let me bring Kel in. Whoops.
So there you go. Welcome to the show, Kel. I'm sorry about that.
That's okay. You know, I have the power to unmute myself. I just keep forgetting that. You know, I'm just struck in your awesomeness.
Make me go embarrassed now. But it's good to have you here this evening, Kel. And as I say, the theme of the show tonight is remembering Lee Rigby a year today of that horrific crime that we saw on the streets of London. And we will be delving into some stories related to the circumstances, won't we, Kel, in a little while?
We will.
On the show this evening, ladies and gentlemen. But I would also like to, as I say, we've got another two of our panelists this evening. It's our very own Mr. Ragador, and tonight his nickname is, I love this, Kel, Furface. Furface! What do you like? My goodness me, let's bring this gentleman in.
He's always waving his furry paw, so I assume he has a furry face.
Perfect. Do you hear this, Agador? Do you see what Kelly's done to you tonight? My goodness me. Good to have you on the show this
evening, bro. No respect at all. I don't get no respect at all. I got no respect. Well, Kel has seen my picture.
Hang on, I'm going to bring... just 1 minute, sir. Agador, just 1 minute. Kel, we got that little soundbite we wanted to do in a minute. I'm just going to bring the sleek one, Cat Stranger 101, Mr. Tim Burton, in this evening. So, Tim, welcome to the show, buddy. The sleek ones.
Hi,
well,
Tim.
Hi, Kel. Hi, Jeff. Hi, Agador. Good to see you.
Yo, who's that? Yo, you pick up the phone. Hello?
There you go. Something new in addition to the show, guys. That's why I said just hold back a little bit. We had a little sound bite for you gentlemen. It had to be done, didn't it, Kel?
And that was Agador's inspiration. I love that so much.
Yeah, we started something off now, weren't we, guys? But good to have you here this evening, Tim, and of course, Agador, to see both you gentlemen this evening. And of course,
what's
our
Tim's
very
nickname?
Own Kel.
Yeah.
Oh, listen, he's got a good name. He's the sleek one tonight, Kel. Kel, you put Tim on the pedestal.
I'm sorry, but I give everybody nicknames. I think I have to make up something for Agador, though. I don't know what to do. I call him Furface, and I call Tim the Sleek One.
And I'm just the restricted one here, Kel. I'll go restricted.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, Jeff, how did that happen? You're restricted again. I don't know what that means.
It's those corsets you bought him for his birthday. Put them on
don't tell anybody, Tim. Young man.
I was going to say he got the wrong size when he bought his underwear last.
Yeah.
You're certainly right there, Agador, definitely, buddy. But as I say, we've got quite a busy chat room as well. I'd like to give everybody a wave in the chat room this evening. It's building up lovely. Good to see you, EDL Minx. Of course, we've got Agador. We got to Cat Strangler 101. I think these two gentlemen are sitting here with me at this moment in time. We got the numerous guests, and of course we got Paulie Steve. Good to see you guys, and thank you for being here this evening. As I say, we got a theme tonight. As I say, guys, can you believe it? A year on from that most horrific crime that we see on the London
almost
streets.
Almost to the hour.
Yeah.
To the hour, yeah.
Yeah, it was about three in the afternoon, if I remember rightly. I remember actually hearing the news breaking, and I think it was between 2 and 3 in the afternoon.
Yeah. You know, I remember
the children
where
just
I was
been allowed
that
out
day.
With school.
Yeah.
Sorry, yeah, I was. Oh no, Tim. I'm just saying that I think all of us remember exactly where we were. It's this was as devastating as 9/11, in my opinion. And I certainly remember where I was that day. But I was speaking on the phone with one of our dear friends who was ailing. And these texts were coming up. And it's like, okay, hang on. Something weird is going on out there. And let me take a look. And I clicked on it, and I'm reading this. I'm going, what? What? No, no. And what we're going to do, we every year we usually, a lot of the radio shows have a 9/11 memorial program. And we don't name the people perpetuated that. And we're not going to name the people that slaughtered Lee Rigby. We're going to remember
no.
Lee Rigby. And what we are going to do, Jeff and myself, we have some clips that we're going to share with you a little later. Tim has his latest article that has been submitted, and Tim will relate that article to you. And that is going to be in terms of a memorial that the British government will not recognize, right, Tim?
It's an article I submitted today, especially for today, because it's the anniversary of Lee Rigby's murder. And the story was, and well, it still is, that the local council in Greenwich, I mean, together with the local MP, are still refusing to allow a permanent memorial at the scene. Now, their excuse is that it might attract extremists, but I think that isn't really the reason at all. And I wrote quite an elaborate article on it, which, I mean, I won't read it all out word for word, but my note at the end of the article was, of course, they are going to fight tooth and nail to try and prevent this memorial from being built, because it's an embarrassment for their political correct aspirations. When a serving soldier is murdered on the streets by Muslims in the name of Islam, and the authorities are desperately trying their best to persuade that that such atrocities have nothing to do with Islam, as David Cameron most memorably said, and they have no problem with memorials for people like the murdered black teenager Stephen Lawrence only a mile or two down the road. But of course, he wasn't killed by Muslims. He was killed by members of the quotation marks, Britain's bigoted white racist community, and nobody cares about offending them. All right, fair enough. But if his killers had been Muslim, then I think there might have been a very, very similar problem. And it's nothing to do with whether the memorial would attract extremists, and everything to do with appeasing the followers of a ruthless totalitarian political ideology. And those followers who not only refuse to integrate and assimilate with the rest of us, but who loudly proclaim their allegiance to Islam and Sharia at every opportunity, and who openly declare their intention to enslave and subjugate the rest of us when their numbers reach a sufficiently high level. I'm not going to read this article out in full, as I say, because I don't want it to take away from, you know, what is quite a somber tone for the evening, I think it is important to recognise Lee Rigby's sacrifice. I think there should be a memorial, and those people who would try and forget about the fact and try and make the rest of us forget about the fact should learn in no uncertain terms that the proud patriots of this country are not going to let that be forgotten, and that we are going to speak out at every opportunity, because it's not just about one person, it's about our entire country being subjugated under this, as I say, political ideology. We're not going to let it happen. Lee Rigby was a casualty in that fight against the Islamization of our country. And, you know, he wasn't the first and he won't be the last. He's certainly going to be, hopefully, one of the most best remembered people who fell in the service of our country. And we must make sure that's never forgotten.
And I agree with that.
And let's not forget the most cowardly way that these people perpetuated the crime. I mean, this wasn't just a straightforward casualty of war. This was a total, homicidal act. I mean, driving a car, taking your man down and then to do what they did was a total coward's act. That's it. Not one-to-one on one man, no. Drive a car at him, disable the gentleman, and go about doing what they did. And this proves the true scumbags of this Islamic scourge that we've got before us. And as you say, Tim, we've seen this happen. We've seen this happen on our streets. And ladies and gentlemen, we've often said this at these events. They don't think that what we see is an end to it all. That this is never going to happen again. Take it from me, there's people at this moment in time probably working against our society, our nations, to try to create the biggest devastation, throughout our countries. So take my word from it. There are two people at work, while we're even discussing what went on with that absolutely horrific day, which I think we'd all agree it was one of those days that took your breath away. But be under no illusion, that's what I'm saying. We must always keep our guard up. Of course, there's people out there who want to call us killers. That's it. They want to kill us. They want to kill us, and they want to put this evil cult of theirs in its place and to do away with good people who love the freedoms and that. And this young gentleman that day who lost his life, he was just walking home. He was walking back to the boats and being attacked in that way. We're never going to forget, and we won't ever, And if it means we've got to keep fighting to get a monument, something to represents that young man, because he's never going to be forgotten. I don't care what these governments or the council say are trying to align any problems that might arise of it. Well, we want it. We, the people, demand a memorial for that young man. And we'll do anything. And we'll keep fighting and fighting and fighting until they come to their senses or until they're removed. People put it in, we will have our memorial. There you go. And I've got to say that. And I don't know if people listen around the country to what I'm saying. We demand it. You, me, the wider community, everybody, we deserve this for that young man. I'm sorry, you were just about to talk then, Tim, and I took your thunder away. Sorry.
Well, all I was going to say, I mean, quite right, Jet, and I echo everything that you say. I was just going to say, sometimes I think that these councillors and MPs forget what the purpose of a memorial is, and it is to commemorate, but it's to help us remember that something of significance took place, and it should never be allowed to be erased from public memory. I mean, this is why we have things like the cenotaph in Whitehall. You know, it's not just a block of stone that's there to get in the way of traffic. It's there for a specific reason to remind us that 100 years ago there was this enormous war which was bigger than pretty much anything that had come before, that engulfed the whole of Europe and took millions of lives, millions of young men's lives. And at the end of it, we wanted to be able to say to future generations, this was something that was of such profound significance that we never want it to be forgotten. And that's the purpose of a memorial, is to help people remember and make sense of some of the things that happen. And for those councillors and the local MP to try and erase Lee Rigby's memory by denying a memorial, what they're saying is that his death was of no significance when it was of extreme significance, and that should never be forgotten.
I think it's
I think that I would love to hear what Agador thinks about this. And Agador, do you
yes.
remember that day? And do you remember maybe where you were?
Well, I was here doing some things that I do when I'm here, and you know, this came over the news, and of course I was shocked, and the first thing I thought, you know, being a big Second Amendment supporter myself, you know, I thought that if the people were you know, some of them had some legal firearms, this might not have even occurred, you know, but I just want to say that I think Tim has hit it. This isn't about extremism. This is about wanting the memory of this event to go away, because it does reflect badly on them. The system that they've chosen to adopt politically, they've chosen to adopt the ideology of Islam and incorporate it to run side by side with the legitimate government in the United Kingdom. And if a memorial is put up, then that means that people will remember that Islamists did attack and kill Lee Rigby in a very horrific way. And I don't think that they want that. So yes, I think that that far from not understanding that the memorial marks the event, they understand it very well, and that's why they're against it. I'll turn it back over to you guys.
Thank you, Agador, for those thoughts and that, and exactly the way that you felt at that time as well, but. Yeah, as I say, what you said, Tim, and what you said, Agador, is very profound to what we're discussing this evening. And I think that we should do as we have been doing for quite a long time, just keep putting the pressure on. And if people listen to the show and you want to get involved in it, please do, you know, because there's lots of people out there want these people to see sense. This is what the people want this, not you, the councillors, because it might reflect badly on you. It doesn't matter about you, because you'll be gone soon anyway. Whatever happens, you'll be gone. But the memory of Lee will live on. So as long as you're there and you're gone, people are going to forget you. No one's going to ever forget Lee Rigby, that drummer Lee Rigby, ever. So, you know, we're going to have our memorial. Whatever happens, there's going to be a memorial. And, you know, we'll make sure that it's going to happen, because it's people power. And in the end, they got to do what the people want. And if they don't, then we remove them. There you go. Kelly, back to you. Excuse me tonight, guys.
We have a couple of clips that we're going to play. These are sound bites. And this is from the article by the Telegraph. And we are going to discuss Ingrid Lyo-Kennett, and she was hailed as a hero for trying to save drummer Lee Rigby's life, and she was known as the Woolwich Angel. And this is still haunts her, but, you know, the day it happened, she was fine, but the next day and the day after that, there were no nightmares, no flashbacks, but they started to catch up on her rather quickly. Now, over the following weeks, as she gave interviews after interviews to the national press and appeared on TV and radio around the globe, still she says she felt strangely calm. Then almost 6 months after the death of Lee Rigby, that's the day she jumped off the number 53 bus to attend to him. He was dying in the streets, and she's the one that confronted the killers. And they had the knives in their hands. They were smeared in blood. And she started to cry. She says, "I cried and cried, and I couldn't stop." She is 49 years old. It was very, very difficult for her. Like, it's post-traumatic stress syndrome is what it is, what this woman had to endure. The bus had stopped, and she saw somebody in peril, and she was going to help, whether it be first aid or whatever help she could offer. But when she realized the gravity of the situation, it hit her. And we have something for her. This is a year after the death of Lee Rigby. And this is from Ingrid Rainer.
Thank you, Kim.
You bet.
Is your kitchen a
and,
little too kitschy?
Sorry about that. Got myself a pop up here. I'll get rid of this pop. Sorry.
To be back here, it's okay. I'm just a bit shaking, but it's all right. Looks a bit different, so easier to, yeah. No, I was not scared by his knife or gun, or, especially the gun. He looked like a toy to me, so I gambled on that. So the 53 bus was coming there straight on, and it just stopped such a way to block the entrance of this part of the street. And I saw a crash car first. And then, of course, crash car, you look for a body, and I found one on the road. And I looked, and there was no help around him except this Caribbean lady crossing his back. I crossed. And, yes. And I turned the guy about there. So I wanted to check there, so I was going to lift up the jacket and touch there. When I heard a voice saying, don't touch the body. And I could see bloodied hands, one carrying a revolver and the other one a butcher's knife and a meat cleaver, bloodied as well. And I thought, okay, this is not an accident, this is a murder. So I said, okay, why? He said, because a British soldier, and I just killed him. And I thought, okay, I have to keep him talking to me and forget who's around. But if he wants to kill a British soldier, and there's another one coming by. At the time, there was almost, there was what, the shopkeeper over there with a client, and maybe hardly anyone, really. And I was a bit shocked that nobody had stopped to help. The body fell around here, and then they pulled him over there, and the car was like that, shoo. The psychiatrist always say, talk about it, don't keep it in you. So I was talking a lot about it, so I didn't have any nightmare. I didn't have anything, but after about, I don't know, 6 months, I stopped crying a lot and a lot and a lot. And I thought it's bizarre because I was not scared. I don't think it's a good idea to have a permanent memorial there. I would think the better idea is to have it in their hometown, where he grew up, where he had friends, where it would mean something to people, a memorial in a happy place for remembering happy memories, better than just being there and keeping asking what happened here, what happened here, and every time explaining a killing and a murder rather than a happy time. Yes, of course it's always sad to lose somebody, and I feel for the mother. I mean, I would be devastated if I was losing my son, my only son, like her, the same. So of course it's a pain which will never go away, something you have to live with if you can live with.
And there you go, Jeff.
Yeah, thank you, Kel. Yes, it really hits hard when, you know, when the lady was explaining the situation of the day, you know, as it is unfolding, and then the reality, as you say, 6 months down the line, it kicks in, and the flashbacks, the nightmares, as you say, like a post-traumatic disorder that this lady's has, sort of all of a sudden she finds herself is how it affects you. This is typical of when people come back from when you've been over to say Afghanistan, things like that. This the post-traumatic, some of the things you see, some of the things you're involved with. You know, this is the situation, which is often talked about these days, isn't it? But
yeah.
But I've got to thank you, Kel, for playing that in the studio tonight for our listeners out there. Because, as I say, it's going to be a little bit of a somber evening this evening. But at the same time, we reflect on Lee's life. I mean, you know, this is the thing that we will continue to do as time goes by. Even as time goes by, we will still, you know, we'll do a year memorial to each year that passes, because he was never, he will never be forgot,
And that's the way
absolutely
that we look at ourselves.
Yeah, and later on we're going to play a clip by Lee Rigby's mother, and that is Lynn Rigby, and she'll never forgive his murderers. I call them slaughterers, and that's how I see it. This is unfathomable to me, in that Islam is so capable of such evil. I can't wrap my fucking head around this cult. I mean, they fuck me senseless. They really do. And I just don't know how to rectify getting around this. This is just absolutely insane.
Yeah? I agree. And let's put things into a perspective as well. The way that our politicians was dancing around saying it had nothing to do with Islam. Now, this is what gets me, just as nearly as awful as the actual crime on our streets, that horrific slaughter on our streets, that the politicians try to make excuses. And I think they should never, ever be forgot what they said that day. This was a degradation of duty. This was a betrayal of the people of this country. And anybody that mentioned that this had nothing to do with Islam, one day there'll be a reckoning for those people. Because you who might be listening to this show, or co-walks who's listening to this show, take my word for it that you will be held accountable. We will never forget those words which you spoke, Cameron, and Boris Johnson, which you said. And we will never, ever let you forget. No matter when you fade away into distance, you will be brought to task one day. Mark my words for it. Excuse me.
That's funny, Jeff, that you bring up David Cameron, because everybody knows what he said. I mean, he was on the podium virtually within 24 hours saying this had nothing to do with Islam.
Yeah.
And Agador being in the United States, when 9/11 occurred, President Bush said pretty much the exact same thing.
Well, I mean, he said these people were had perverted Islam, that that they had gotten the wrong message, that Islam is a religion of peace, that sort of thing, completely sending the wrong message. Now, I believe that President Bush did a good job of bringing the American people together right after 9/11, but he did not close the deal. And acknowledge that this was indeed Islam. You know, it was the radical Islam line, unfortunately, too many people still believe that this has nothing to do with Islam itself. It's just people who have taken Islam and perverted it into something violent so that they can go out and do terrible things. So it was a misrepresentation on his part, even though, at least in my opinion, he did a little bit better to bring the nation together after 9/11 than Cameron did. But yes, Kel, you do raise an excellent point. Back to you guys.
I was just going to say something before we move on to the next part of what we was going to discuss there. But I would say that what happened on 9/11, President Bush should have took that as a declaration of war. Islam had declared war on the free world.
Amen. Can we get a hallelujah?
Yeah, that's it. There was war that was declared, and we should, or the free world should have answered that and said, right, you've declared war, then we will use all our force, and we would have devastated the whole of Islam within a week or so, less than a week.
Couldn't agree more, Jeff. Couldn't agree more, my friend.
Amen, Jeff.
It should have been a declaration of war, and we should have gone, and it shouldn't have took as long. We got the forces. We could have totally eradicated this evilness, this pure and utter evil that perpetrates itself around the world. And we had the chance to do that. Bush had the chance to do that. The free world. But now we are, chasing shadows at the moment, because no one wants to declare this. Well, I think we should, we are saying it, I'm saying it, that was a declaration of war, and the politicians should have took that as that this was a time that we strike them hard and make them see that they never ever will they achieve their goals of their caliphate through this world ever. So there you go.
Absolutely.
That's my fault. I'm sorry, Gail, if I took any what you was going to say away there. But,
no, Jeff, believe me, you have the eloquence in which you speak is overwhelming, and I think that everybody can agree with every word that you said. And but what we want to do, we are 35 minutes into the program. We have so much material to get through. Jeff, I was wondering, do you want me to play the interview with Lynn Rigby?
Yes, please, Kel, if you've got it all teed up. Please, Kel.
Okay. Here we go. Sorry. My apologies. Darn it. Shoot. Here we are. Sorry, Jeff.
Okay.
Watched the whole horrific murder on the TV. It was pretty traumatic. Mm.
It's a film of one of the men responsible speaking to camera.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see that film?
Yeah. Yeah. It's one of mine worst, you know, nightmares of a nighttime. I just see Lee covered in blood and, you know, me trying to help or trying to save him in some way. And
there were people who tried to help, weren't there, on that day?
I'd just like to thank them for just being there for Lee. It was so courageous, and knowing Lee wasn't alone.
Have you spoken to those people who were there?
No, we haven't. We would definitely, you know, like to meet them. Definitely.
You then had to go through the trial of these two men.
I just really wanted to look in their eyes and see if they showed any remorse, or I got nothing from that.
When the judgment was handed down, those men got angry.
They started shouting and fighting, and all I could see was what they'd done to Lee that day. It just brought it all back.
Do you think that justice was served?
Yeah. I know that they won't get out now, you know. They cannot do this to another family. I'll never forgive them for what they did to Lee. Never.
There is controversy over the memorial.
Mm-hmm.
What are your thoughts?
I don't want him to be forgotten. I think a plaque or, you know, some fitting tribute for where Lee died.
Did you chat to him?
It got to a point, it was after the trial, and all this. I just hit rock bottom, and I found myself ending up at Lee's graveside at 12 o'clock at night, you know, because I didn't want him there alone.
What did you say?
I wanted him back, and this should never have happened, and I miss him. The family misses him.
And that was Lee Rigby's mother, Lynn. And
yeah,
that she'll never forgive those killers, those slaughterers, as I call them, Jeff.
My heart was bleeding for Lynn as she was, with, you know, saying, you know, speaking, you know, about what's happened. It's, it was very moving. I've got to thank you, Kel. And listeners, if you listen to that, and you probably same as myself, that it tears your heart. It tears your heart. A mother, you know, that had to witness such a horrific thing to a son, and then to see the way that these Coranimals acted when they were sentenced. They had to be wrestled.
That is something else too, is that when they were sentenced and the judge said that it was an aberration of Islam, they both started fighting and shouting, and saying that this has everything to do with Islam. This is why we did it. And Tim, you can share with us exactly what they were reciting on the street that day, the passages from the Quran.
Well, indeed. The one, Michael
The
first guy.
Etymology.
Yeah, that's the one. Yeah.
I call him a wank splat myself, actually.
Well, quite.
There you go.
Yeah, he was quoting Quran chapter 9, verse 29, chapter and verse. And he was quite clear about why he had done what he'd done. And Islamically speaking, he was absolutely correct. Which, of course, was why he was so upset when he came to be sentenced. And the judge said that what he did was a perversion of Islam and nothing to do with Islam at all. And he went absolutely batshit crazy because he knew, as the rest of us know, that what he did was absolutely in line with Islamic values. And for the judge to say that it was nothing to do with Islam, and for people like David Cameron to say it was nothing to do with Islam, it was just completely incorrect, a total fiction. So, yes, he was quoting directly from the Quran, chapter 9, verse 29, absolutely, chapter and verse.
Agador, when you hear these things, and when we are kind of running the gamut here, our politicians say this is an aberration of Islam, and we know that's exactly what it is, and then we hear the judges saying that, this is an aberration of Islam. We know this is Islam. This is their mission. It's pretty much their mission statement to kill us. we're infidels. We're kafirs, Agador. What do you think when you hear these things?
Well, you mentioned it yourself earlier. I mean, even after 9/11, President Bush said, "Well, no, this is Islam is a religion of peace." Even in what I believe is his greatest speech, on the 20th of September of that year, before the joint session of Congress, he said the same thing: Islam is a religion of peace. It's all you have to do is read the Quran. And if that isn't good enough for you, all you have to do is listen to the statements. These are what these people say they want to do. They say they are following Islam. They are following the Quran. They are doing what, in their twisted minds, they are supposed to do. This is no kind of aberration. It's a three-word thing that I post in a lot of things that I get from Pamela Geller and a lot of the other great people out there in the anti-jihad movement, which is, this is Islam. And back to you guys.
Jeff?
Yes, I'm sorry about that. I was writing something in the text, Kel. I'm following. There's lots of things. The name should never be mentioned, and they,
Lee
Rigby on the other hand, and his name should be in big neon lights to be seen from afar. EDL Minks, I echo what you say there. I agree, and I think most of us, who's sitting in the chat room, in the studio, and our listeners out there would agree wholeheartedly with what you just said there, Minx. Thank you very much. Kel, sorry, I was just and making a comment in the chat room as well. So my apologies, Kel.
I like what Minx said in the chat room there, Jeff. Is that we just refer to them as Scumbag One and Scumbag Two.
Yes,
There you go.
I was agreeing with, and I think so. I think that is the case because they should never, anybody that takes part and does anything so horrific, their names should never, ever be used. They should be put in a bin and not to be heard about again.
Yeah.
The crime of what they did, yes. We should always mention that this crime of theirs, this horrific, because it was a crime, whatever they'd done, it was a crime against humanity. You know, these criminals want to commit crimes against humanity.
Bingo.
And they'll do anything to fulfill their, you know, they call themselves, is it Allah soldiers, is it?
Soldiers of Allah.
Soldiers of Allah,
soldiers
yeah.
Of Allah. You see, that's what they call themselves. So they, you know, this is it. They want to go out there and they want to cause the... they knew what they would do, that this would cause... the country would take to this, and I think they was very surprised that there wasn't quite the bigger backlash as what they was expecting. And I think they thought that this would be the start of something seriously major. I don't know about you, Tim. I don't know about you, Carol or Agador. I don't know your thoughts, but it seems I tried to kick something up, you know, a religious war, whatever you want to call it. But that's what I think they really, really tried to do, you know. And they've been doing this in little cells. Don't forget what happened over in America with the bombers. There was two of them. It seemed that this, maybe it's a slight
tactic. Oh, the Boston bombers. Oh, yeah, yeah.
The Boston bombers,
yeah.
Yes, Kel.
Yeah,
that's
the,
right.
The idiot brothers. Yeah, the idiot twins.
Yeah. The Joker and you know his piece of crap brother that you know he ran over, which shows he's you know not only a murdering scumbag,
you know,
but
thing
he just killed his own bloody family
over
too.
His fucking brother.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I mean, there is a certain justice there. You know, anyone who says there's no God, no, sorry, that's proof there is one.
Yeah.
Well, you know, okay, Agador, that, you know, I'm so glad that you brought up that point, is that when they were running from the law, the one brother was shot, and the other brother backed over him and just kept going.
Yeah. Yep, that also is Islam, yes.
Yeah, I mean, there is no honor, there is no duty, there is no reason why Islam should exist. And Jeff, I'm just going to hug the mic for a second because I have something that I want to bring up, and I really need to get it off my chest. And ladies and gentlemen, this is it. You know what? I got my truncheon here, and when you hear that, you know that the Red Fox is... turning into the Mad Fox. One thing that we have to do is that we have to insist that our respective governments start standing up and getting rid of this entity in our midst, which is called Islam. It is not a religion. It is certainly not a religion of peace. Even if they achieve a caliphate, it will never be a religion of peace because the different factions will be going back and forth. The Sunni, the Shia, they'll be going on. But what we have to do is that we have to right our governments. And I was listening to Hold Your Awakens show last Saturday night, and he said, you know what, emails aren't enough. What we have to do is we have to sit down at our desks and we have to write letters and fire off these letters and tell our local politicians, tell our provincial, state, whatever, federal, we have to let them know that we are fed up and we've had enough and that we want Islam de-indexed as a protected religious status because it is not a religion. It's a bloody political entity and it is determined to overtake us. We have these organizations here in North America and in the UK, in Australia, in which they sit there and they plot and they ploy with us. And they say one thing. They speak out of both sides of their mouths and they fool us. But we are on to them. Enough is enough. The gloves are off. I've had it. Jeff's had it. Tim's had it. Agador's had it. You have had it. Enough is enough. Now, you can help in my personal crusade and write a letter to your local politicians. Start there. Move it up. Let all of the politicians know, all of all the political parties, let them know that you've had it and you're fed up to hear and that there is no reason, for example, why our public schools should be turned into mosques. i.e. Valley Park Middle School in Toronto, Ontario, Canada, where Valley Park Middle School becomes a mosqueteria. The cafeteria is converted into a mosqueteria. Why are your tax dollars going towards that? You know what? These are your tax dollars. Do you know that your tax dollars is supporting organizations like the Council of American Islamic Relations, the Muslim Student Association? You are the employer. The politicians work for you. You can vote them in, but you can vote them out if they do not pay attention to your voice. And believe me, they will, because we are on to Islam, and Islam knows it. We're going to have Islam on the run. We're going to get rid of these organizations. We're going to defund them. We're going to de-index them as a protected religious status. And I can't do it alone. Jeff can't. Tim can't. Agador can't. You can't. We all have to work as a collective, and we have to ensure that this ends now. Back to you, Jeff.
And send it back to the sand pits where it belongs, eh, Kel?
Yes.
Oh, and the Keystone Pipeline. Keystone XL Pipeline. Let's get off the Saudi Arabian tit when it comes to the oil. Let's stop it. We have enough oil to share for decades and decades, and by then, even if we run out of oil in North America, there will be new technology that will ensure that our houses are still kept warm and our cars will still be able to function down the highway. We do not need Saudi Arabia anymore. Let's stop importing blood oil, and let's start ensuring that we dry them up, dry up their resources, get rid of OPEC. Okay,
yeah.
Jeff, I'm sorry.
I agree. I would agree with you 100%, Kel. A big round of applause for the great speech you made there, and I think everybody was nodding their head in agreement with you. And, I also get fed up with them saying, oh, you steal all their oil. Well, you know what? All that sand that we steal, we should just go to...
Thank you.
A round of applause. The world was speaking to you, Kel. That was a grand applause for you. Absolutely superb. I love it, Kel, when you get on one, and I know our listeners do, and I know everybody in the chat room. And actually, she was quite tame there because you didn't drop an F-bomb there, did she, guys?
I did earlier. I don't know how many F-bombs I should drop tonight, but you know what? It's true. This religion, this so-called religion, this cult, this political entity, it really does. It fucks me senseless. It's unbelievable what they're capable of doing, and that they can think that they're going to get away with this. No, they're not. Not on my watch, because you know what? We all have children, grandchildren, nieces and nephews, and we have a legacy to protect. And I'll be damned if Islam interferes with that and spoils it for my personal legacy. And Jeff.
Thank you, Kel.
Sorry,
We let you roll, girl, don't we, guys? We let Kel roll because you are fantastic. And as I say, that applause spoke volumes for the listeners and everybody in the chat room as well. But I was going to say, Kel, we have got a caller, as of course it's our very own Firefox News Online, our very own George. Good to have you on the show this evening, George, and I hope you are well, brother.
Well, I'm doing pretty soggy. It's raining
like
dogs out here today in New York there, Jeff. But, Kel?
Yeah?
I got to tell Kel this right off the bat. Bravo, baby, bravo, yeah!
She was on fire, wasn't she, George? I've got to admit, I was very proud of you tonight, Kel, as I normally am anyway. But I hope you don't mind if George... I was going to say, George, and Kel, if you don't mind, but Kel, I wonder if you can carry on. I just need to do what I need to do. I need to take a break. I'm about 5 minutes overdue, actually. So you can carry on with Kel and Tim and Agador, and I'll be right back. And my apologies, but I better go because my phone bill.
Hey, listen, Jeff, no need to apologize. I understand completely. Believe me.
Okay, buddy.
I have moments Kel, like that myself, it. You know.
You know what? When Jeff has to refresh his call and he disappears from the studio, this is really fun because okay,
I know it is, Kelly.
Three,
I know.
Two, one.
Okay. I'll see you guys in a minute. Kel, carry on then. George, God bless
Jeff,
you guys.
Go.
I'll be back in a minute.
Now, let's talk about spiders.
But when he disappears, I love this screen. You are not connected. Please call in. End the episode or continue. The big red button there, Tim.
Yes, indeed.
Oh, don't do the big red button. Don't do the big red button. Then it'll cut us all off, you see.
What?
Like, no.
But George, what do you think about what you've been hearing tonight?
Button.
What do you think about, you know, we're commemorating the memory of Lee Rigby, and I like what Richard said in the chat room, in that we'll forget the scumbag one and scumbag two, their names, but Lee Rigby's name will be remembered always. And when we have these Islamists in our midst, and they get away with this, and Islam is still getting a pass, George. How does that make you feel, especially you being in the United States along with Agador?
My dear, brace yourself. In fact, everybody better brace themselves, because when it comes to this, you can bet your bottom dollar I got something to say. That non-religious, sanctimonious piece of crap cult is about as much fun as a toothache being pulled without Novocaine. Those sons of bitches need to be removed from this country right now, this minute, this second. I am sick and tired of their nonsense. They're swinging a sword. They're taking our heads. They're taking our fingertips. They're taking everything. They have taken over completely in some countries, and in some countries they haven't taken over yet, but they will if they are allowed to. This has got to stop. Those bastards have got to go. Done. Finny. Goodbye.
Absolutely.
I can't
absolutely
do it as eloquently as Kel did tonight, but when I'm...
it does work people up. It does work people up. And these escapades, and I mean, it's not even an issue of them engaging in escapades. They're engaging in genocide, and the genocide, we are the victims, and our governments don't see it, George.
Well, Kel, I got something to tell you, my dear. Earlier this morning, I went to the store, you know, because I felt like going to the store and getting the morning paper for a change. A Muslim gentleman, I call him a gentleman only because he was actually apologetic for about 10 seconds, knocked me right to the ground on his way to go into the store. Didn't even think for 1 minute that he hit somebody. When I got up off the ground, I brushed myself off as best I could, considering it was soaking wet outside. I walked in. I said, excuse me, you knock me to the ground and you keep on going? Can I ask
with
you a dumb question? What part of stupid do you not understand? He looked at me and he said, I'm sorry. And then went about his business.
Did he? What? Did he hit you with a car?
No, he didn't hit me with a car. We were heading for the same entrance at the same time, and he comes barreling in like his pants are on fire, and he bumps into me, and I go down to the sidewalk. If he had hit me with a car, I wouldn't be here.
Oops, sorry. Yeah.
But here's the thing. The guy behind the counter in the store took one look at the guy and said, That's pretty cavalier apology there, mister.
Yeah.
And the guy just looked at the owner and said, oh, it sucks to be you, doesn't it? I turned around and I said,
well, I'm glad he didn't say that to me, George, because I'll be quite honest, I don't care what people think. I'd have knocked him to the ground and said, yeah, it sucks to be you now, doesn't it? You know, how rude.
To the ground, Jeff. No, I won't do that. I just looked at him and said, you got that hat on a little too tight there, buddy? And then I saw the Koran sticking out of his pocket. He had a pocket edition. I said, excuse me, the Koran? He goes, yeah, why? I said, got a question for you. Are you following every edict? Are you following everything word for word? Because apparently you are, because you knocked my ass to the floor just so you could get in and get a cup of lousy goddamn coffee. Get out of my way!
Oh.
He moved, too. He moved. Mm-hmm.
I was wondering, Jeff, if you're ready for a break. We're at the bottom of the hour, and we're due for our musical break. I was wondering if you wanted to do that.
Yes, please, Kel. And as I say, the theme is, as I say, the leaving. But there's something that, Kel, we wanted to speak about after, didn't we? And, of course, that's young Hayden. And we want to speak about Hayden after the break. So maybe is that about time that we said we was going to just have a, because we want to inform some of our listeners how he's doing. So was we going to do that, Phil? Okay,
we have a young friend here that is doing poorly, but he listens to the show on his iPad or his headset, and Jeff, that's Hayden, and he's in the hospital. He's still in ICU. His mommy is joining us in the chat room, and I was talking with his mummy, and I said, what kind of music does he like? And she told me, and so I have a song, Jeff, that I think that we'll play for Hayden. What do you think?
That's absolutely fantastic. And as I say, he's been on our thoughts and our prayers and that, and we are thinking of a young man, a courageous young man, and we're wishing him well, and hopefully he'd be on the road to recovery in the very, very near future. Thinking of you as well, EDL Minks, and all your family. God bless you guys. We're right behind you, and we're thinking of Hayden. So with that, Kel, back to you. Thank you very much.
You're welcome, Jeff. We'll see everybody back here in 5 minutes.
Opportunity seize everything you ever wanted. One moment that you capture, just let it slip. Yo, his palms are sweaty, knees weak, arms are heavy. There's vomit on his sweater already. Mom's spaghetti, he's nervous, but on the surface he looks calm and ready to drop bombs. But he keeps on forgetting what he wrote down. The whole crowd goes so loud. He opens his mouth, but the words won't come out. He's choking how? Everybody's choking now. The clock's run out. Time's up. Over. Loud. Snap back to reality. Oh, there goes gravity. Oh, there goes gravity. Choke. He's so mad, but he won't give up. That is, he know he won't have it. He knows his whole back to these ropes. It don't matter. He's dope. He knows that, but he's broke. He's so stagnant. He knows when he goes back to this mobile home. Back to the
There you go. And that especially goes out to Hayden and, of course, yourself, Minx, and your family. And thank you, Kel, for that tune. It's absolutely fantastic.
Absolutely.
Well, I was going to, I hope you don't mind, Kel, I'm going to do something impromptu at this moment in time. And because I was just going down my list here, and I haven't played it for a little while, and I think it just, we're not very happy with Islam, are we, Kel, and guys here, mm-hmm. George and Agador.
Oh,
and,
no. Oh, come on, Jeff, Islam is great.
Okay, so anyway.
Best things in sliced bread.
Yeah, exactly. Well, there you go. But I'm going to play this because I think it represents everything about Islam. And this is a theme that's been going for quite a few years now. I don't know how many years it's been going. It's been around a long time. And I want to do it right now. I want to do it right now. So here we go, guys. Islam's not for me. But there you go. It's got to be done.
Tell me my religion was wrong. They tried to tell me to follow Islam. They said their prophet was a righteous dude, but I found out none of their words were true. I read the Quran and I read the Hadith, and the sickness of Muhammad was apparent to me. He justified perversion in the name of Allah when he married a girl too young for a boy. She was playing with dolls when the prophet came. Her childhood was stolen in Allah's name. Aisha was 9 when he took her to bed. Don't tell me that fool's not sick in the head. Ain't gonna follow no child molester, sex offender, prophet pretender. Ain't gonna follow no child molester.
Islam's not for me. Islam's not for me.
The sickness of the Islamic mind
has caused the mullahs to be blind.
To justify the prophet, they will justify sin. So the sins of the prophet are repeated again.
All over the world, in Islamic state, 9-year-old girls with a cruel fate
sold into marriage to twisted men, and Aisha's sad story is repeated again. Ain't gonna follow no child molester, sex offender, prophet pretender. Ain't gonna follow no child molester.
Islam's not for me. Islam's not for me.
Care about those little girls?
Then stand up and fight for human rights. Speak out against the laws of Islam.
Ain't gonna follow no child molester, sex offender, prophet pretender. Ain't gonna follow no child molester.
Islam's not for me. Islam's not for me.
Islam's
not for me.
Or you, or anybody else, Islam is a scourge and an evilness. It just, I don't know why, Kel and Tim and George and it just was there. And I thought, do you know what, it's got to be done. And so I thought I'd play that anyway. Hope you enjoyed it. It seemed everybody was enjoying it. And we got the link to the tune as well. So thank you, Richard, for posting in the chat room as well. So with that, we want to expand a little bit, which I think Tim wants to expand on the article that we were discussing earlier on the show. Is that correct, isn't it, Kel? So I pass it back to you, Kel. And thank you once again.
Tim has submitted an article, and
yes.
The premise of the article, of course, is the lack of government cooperation to offer up a memorial for Lee Rigby. And Tim, I want you to expand on that.
As I said at the start of the show, this memorial has been something that we've been, or that is to say a lot of patriots in the country have been clamouring for quite some time. And the local council, that's Greenwich Council, together with the local MP, that's Nick Rainsford, have been absolutely adamant in that they're not going to allow a memorial, and the excuse is that it might attract extremists. We discussed this a little earlier in the show, and I believe, as I'm sure a lot of people do, that it's nothing to do with attracting extremists. They just want to forget about Lee Rigby and make sure that the rest of us forget about him as well, because he's a very inconvenient reminder that the politically correct and multicultural rainbow society that they're all looking forward to us all enjoying is in fact a complete myth. And a memorial to the death of Lee Rigby would just highlight it and make people think about what the real reason was behind his slaughter on May the 22nd last year. And the real reason is, of course, all to do with Islam. It's everything to do with Islam, despite what David Cameron had to say about it only a couple of days after the murder, when he stood up in Parliament and said, of course, it's nothing to do with Islam. And I think I popped a comment onto my Twitter timeline to say, when somebody stands up and says that it's nothing to do with Islam, the one thing you can be sure of is that it's everything to do with Islam. And of course, this is what politicians don't want us to realise. Only I think they're a little bit too late, because more and more of us are waking up to the fact that it is everything to do with Islam. And despite the fact that a memorial might attract undue attention from extremists, as the politicians have said, that's not the real reason. They just want to forget about any evidence at all that Islam is behind all the things that it is behind in our Western democracies, and all the chaos and mayhem that it causes. Nearly 23,000 fatal attacks in around the world since 9/11 in the name of Islam, carried out by Muslims screaming Allah Akbar most of the time, and there is no way it can be hidden. You can only hide these things for so long, but as the this proverb has it, three things that cannot long be hid are the sun, the moon, and the truth, and we are now starting to see the truth.
We certainly are, Tim. And that is the case, that Islam's put itself under the spotlight. It's done, it's created its own downfall, because it will be a downfall. You know, the internet is destroying it. It's out there. Everything now that they used to try to keep hidden is out there. It's under the spotlight. And we are gradually, slowly but surely, taking this apart, with or without the politicians. We will see the end of Islam in our times. I hope it's in my time I've got left on this earth. I hope it's in your time, Tim. I do believe that we have definitely, definitely stepped the ante up. We do know that they're coming at us all sides, cyber attacks, everything possible. We are under attack, these people, but we've picked the pace up. We are winning, guys. We are winning this fight. It's still a fight, but we will be victorious. I know we will. You know, my heart tells me so. And the endeavours of everybody that's involved in our fight, we will win this. There's no doubt about it. So there you go. It's got to be said. We need to raise the flags, the banners. We need to really show them. Islam, you are going for a big fall. And there will be no revising you. Once you go, you'll be gone. You'll be discarded in the bins of history as an evil entity that was finally overcome by the good people of this world. And that's what it takes, good people. Good people to create what we're achieving now. Every single one of you, you know. Anyway, Kel, I'm on a stage here. I'm ramping it up.
No, but Jeff, what you're saying is spot on. Everybody agrees with that, and everybody agrees with what Tim is sharing with us, and I think Agador would agree with that, and after Agador has a chance to address this particular issue, I think George, after that, will have something to say.
Be lovely.
So, Agador, what do you
actually
think?
I was away from the desk. I had to go. I was cooking dinner, and I had to go get my dinner off the stove, so I did not hear a whole lot of what was said.
Oh, okay. Then we'll just pass it over to Agador. Uh-oh.
Right.
My stomach growled. I got hungry. I haven't eaten all day. Please pick it on me for that.
Come on, George. Hey, it's all good, buddy. You do what you've got to do. I'm just joking with you.
I know, Jeff. I know. Got to have some fun, right?
Of course. Yeah. But, yeah, George, your thoughts of what we've just been discussing, buddy. Oh, no, you're away.
He was away. That's why I was passing the mic to Agador.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. Okay, so
all right.
Okay.
I kind of just did what George did, but, you know, for me, lunch was, I just grabbed lunch and, you know, I just jammed a bagel in my face. So, I'm a little bit more stealthy about it than he was, but, no, Jeff, it's all good, man. look, you know, your show, your time. I mean, that's the way it is with all of us that have shows, you know. And of course, you know, you're polite enough to have the rest of us on as a panel. You know, George is a call-in, and, you know, we all appreciate that, you know, but you're the impetus behind EDL Radio, and, you know, when you espouse the things you do about this, it's not anything that we're not all thinking about, you know, it's just, you know, we all know that Islam is while it's an idea that should never be forgotten, it's an idea that should never be repeated, and it's an idea that should never be replicated. This is something that all of us have to use, whatever resources we have to fight, even if it winds up that all we're doing is passing out pamphlets on the street corner because they've shut us down off of the Internet. We're going to use the time that we have and the resources that we have now to try and make a difference and wake people up. You know, good people like EDL Meeks and her great husband, Daz, you know, wake them up, and show them that we don't have to have more Lee Rigbys. We have to have more people engaging in action to depower Islam and throw the very idea of Islam into the ash heap of history. And I'll turn it back to you guys.
Thank you, Agador. Spoken very, very eloquently as well, and summed that up. As I say, it's something that we strive, continue to do with the show, with the shows that we do, that we are making a difference. The world has got its eyes open. It is wanting to get engaged in exactly what's going on around this misconception, the politicians lying to them. You know, it's an old saying, isn't there, Tim? You can fool the people some of the time. You can't fool the people all the time. I think that's how it goes.
You can fool some of the people all of the time. You can fool all of the people some of the time. But you cannot fool all of the people all of the time.
Well,
exactly.
Said.
Bravo, Tim. Thank you very much. I knew you'd fill that in nice and properly for me on my behalf. Thank you so much, buddy. And that is the case, isn't it? Would you not agree, Tim, that we've really stepped it up? I mean, it's out there. And Islam,
we have. We certainly have. We're certainly making a difference. And I found out today exactly how far people are prepared to go. I've actually got several Twitter accounts, as some of our listeners will probably know, and I found out today that they've actually been targeted, and somebody has got to Twitter support and told them to suspend all my Twitter accounts And I know exactly where that instruction has come from.
It's old and fuzzy it's, bollocks again, at it,
isn't it? It is old fuzzy bollocks.
Yeah.
It's, that's exactly where it's come from, because he's not at all happy. I mean, we spoke about what he's put on his blog, and I can tell that he's got a very vindictive, mean-spirited character. I also discovered that the OBE, which he has after his name, doesn't actually stand for Order of the British Empire. What it stands for is Oversized Bloated Ego. And it's nothing,
nice.
It's nothing to do with Her Majesty the Queen at all. So that was a relief.
Hey, Jeff, oversized bloated ego? You mean like that of the dictator Barack Obama?
Well, quite. We should give him one of those as well,
oh,
I think.
No.
I'm surprised they haven't taken a vacation together, to be quite honest here.
Yeah, yeah. They've got a lot in common.
They would
get on like a house on fire. I'm sure they would. They've got a lot in common.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't be
no
surprised. They
lie.
May just go golfing.
To deceive.
Yeah, that's what they call it these days, yep.
Yes,
very,
indeed.
Very well said, Tim. I do like the OB, the way that you you renamed it. I think that was absolutely classic. Something that's all I'm going to make a note of myself, Tim.
Well, I'm going to send you a copy of my essay. I've done an essay today. I haven't done it in time to stick it onto my blog, but I'm going to do that in the next couple of hours or so, and I'll send you a copy of this essay.
Thank you.
It's called Fisking Fizzy Bollocks. Now, I don't know if you know what...
Tim, you know what you're going to do? Tim, repeat that. What's it called?
It's called Fisking Fizzy Bollocks. Now, I don't know if our listeners are familiar with the term, but fisking refers to a journalistic style that was pioneered by a chap called Robert Fisk. And what it is, it's a method of taking an article, any given article, and you analyze it line by line, and you really nitpick over everything that's in this article until it's completely shredded. And that's what I'm doing with Fizzy Bollocks and his blog article about me. So Kel has a copy of it, which is a draft copy. I've got to just make a couple of minor changes to finalise it, and then I'll post it on my blog. But I'm going to send Jeff a copy as well. And if anybody wants a copy in advance of it going onto my blog, all they have to do is to send an email to catstrangler101@gmail.com, and I will happily send them a copy. Okay, I will do. I'll need the email account because I can't put it into a Skype box.
You're so mean. You know what you're going to do? You're going to get Fizzy all upset again.
Yes.
Oh, he has to change his bloody nappy again, Kel. Ooh, I don't fancy doing that.
Think about it, guys.
Give me what that guy probably eats.
Who changed the deity on that one?
So just send me a...
He's full of shit anyway.
So just send me a prompt to catstrangler101@gmail.com, and this article will be yours at absolutely
there
no charge as well. Yeah, how about that free stuff? Free stuff advertised on the radio. Can't be bad. So, yep.
What I get out of this, though, Tim, is... He's really embarrassed by this, you've really put him under the spotlight big time. And
I think he's feeling rather hurt. Yeah, and so he should. I mean, I made a point of saying on one of the Liberty GB website comments, I said, I'm going to make sure that Fiaz Magal gets his clock cleaned over what he's been up to. His name is going round the world, and it will be mud by the time I've finished. And I haven't finished yet, ladies and gentlemen.
But it
so,
well better be mud.
So this article is the latest in response to his blog article, and if you get a copy of this, like I say, just send me an email and I'll get you a copy. And if you want to put it on your own website, or if you want to forward it to News International or anything like that, you know, feel free.
Please.
You're absolutely welcome to repost it wherever you want. I mean, you know, I'd appreciate if you just sort of mention I wrote it. I put my name at the bottom of it. But, you know, apart from that, you're free to do whatever you want with it. So, yeah, you're most welcome to it.
Do you know what, Tim? I hope you don't mind. I'm just going to interject a little bit. I'm really looking, because I know this. You're going to be locking horns with this this scourge, one of the scourge leaders, let's put it in its place. I love that, Kel. I've got to refer to Kel for the word scourge. I'm really looking forward, because you know that you're going to, you've done an essay, you know that he's going to, maybe in a couple of weeks' time, come back with something else. And I'm looking forward to the saga. It's going to be very interesting. And you do seem to be stepping it up a little bit more every time, Tim.
Yeah,
it's brilliant.
I'm going to step it up, because, all right, if it's all very well him having a word with people in high places and getting my Twitter account suspended. I mean, that's fine, because I tend not to use my Twitter account so much anymore. I did in the early days, because it was one of the few places I felt I could make a difference. But through Twitter, I've become introduced to Blog Talk Radio, and also the other online magazines and so on that I write for. So my Twitter account is less important than it was. So the fact that he's gone out of his way to have my Twitter account suspended is, you know, it's a minor inconvenience, but it shows me that he feels that what I'm doing is a threat that's great enough to make him take some action. And that's a good sign, you know. It means we're making a difference. All of us, between us, we're all making a difference. Mm. And when somebody takes action like that, you know that you're being effective. I think somebody put it rather well, and I can't remember who it was. Somebody put a note in the chat room that you know that you're over the target when you start taking flack. And that's precisely where we are. We're right over the target. So we are going to take some flack. I don't doubt that, you know, this isn't going to be the last that we've heard of old fizzy bollocks. But the thing is, his weakness is he's got an oversized, bloated ego, and he cannot stand that ego being punctured. And when people laugh
at
him
and
make fun of him, yeah, when people laugh at him and make fun of him and, you know, poke fun, he just does not like it one little bit, which is great.
He don't like it at them, Mr. Mandarin.
He don't like it at them. No, but, I mean, it's great that we know that, you know. That's a really good thing to know, because it's a little
deal, isn't it?
A little weakness we can exploit. So if anybody's got any other suggestions, again, please send them to me on the back of a £10 note to catch
them. Superb, Tim, as usual. Yeah, I was just saying that we'll continue to listen and to see exactly the outcome of the next, because you're going to lock horns again. There's no doubt about it. You've really got under his skin, Tim. Simply, the way that he was bleating about the case, this, that, and the other. Oh dear, oh dear. He was like crying, wasn't he, over it? It was just amazing. It's good to see.
yeah, it's tremendous. Yeah. If there are any more developments, then you guys on this radio show, and anybody who tunes in to our other shows at Red Fox Blogger Mondays and Fridays, Freedom Loving Infidels on the Tuesday evenings, Mike Holt's show on Wednesdays, Mike Holt's show on Wednesdays. You will all be the first to know if anything transpires. So, yep, I shall definitely make sure that happens.
Yeah, he took homage to Mike as well, didn't he? He wasn't very happy with Mike.
Oh, yeah, he took a picture on it, Mike.
Yeah, he didn't take aim at Kel though, and Kel's feeling very left out. You know,
basically, I'm very surprised he didn't attack the English Defence League radio show. I'm very surprised him. I feel left out.
Well,
so does Kel.
What I do know is that he has a couple of his little trolls that do definitely listen to EDL radio without a doubt. One of them actually dropped a hint to that effect in a Twitter conversation a couple of months ago. So I know that he does listen.
Hey, Jeff. I'm interjecting because I want to get this in before I forget. But the EDL radio was picked up by CARE United States when Jeff interviewed one of the ladies from Europe. I can't remember her name, Jeff, but yeah, CARE, they had Jeff in their sight lines.
and this is a problem that I have, and I'm sure George can echo this. You know, we're both disappointed that we're not on CARE's enemies list. We really are. I think I can speak for
him. I think the lady that we're talking about, Agador, she was a very, like, not MI5, what am I talking about, a CIA, one of the agents, actually. And she really was like a whistleblower on some of the covert things that Islam had been creating within America. And I can't remember, you know what, it's one of our earlier shows, wasn't it, Kel? We'll have to have a look back. And it was she's a great lady in the rights. I mean, she's very, very, she's written some great works and that. And it was great having the interview. I think, actually, Vlad interviewed the lady, if you remember right, Kel. Do you remember Vlad interviewed?
I think so, yeah.
That's right, on the show, and it was absolutely fantastic. And after that, as I say, we found ourselves, the English Defence League has come under CARE's spotlight. all bugger them.
Actually, you know what? You're thinking, I know who you're thinking of, but it was when you interviewed Anne-Marie Waters.
Okay.
Was it Anne-Marie Waters? No. It's before that, Kel. It's before Anne-Marie. My goodness, mate. But did I interview you, Anne-Marie?
Yes, you did.
I can't remember interviewing her. Didn't know what. You're probably right, Kel. that's when... It was going back a while, wasn't it? It's a little while now.
It's it's a while back. But, yes. CARE United States, Jeff, they had a lot to say about EDL radio.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
All good things, I hope. Well, it's nice to have some sort of recognition that's from the people out there that we're trying to bring down. it's had a big cheese that they can dictate things. Well, we know what happens to dictators in the end. The dictators are deposed, and that's exactly the same as what will happen to CARE. That'll be discarded. The Muslim Brotherhood's disappearing up its own backside, and that's the same place as that will as well. That's my own opinion, personal opinion. And I don't know who wants to endorse that, but that's how I see it. It's going to disappear up its own backside. It will... You know, it will be discarded in, as Agador says, into the bins of history, of a dark stage that how our world and the civilization had to go through. And but evil always is, you know, got at and got rid of in the end, isn't that? Am I right, guys?
Well, yeah, it doesn't necessarily happen overnight, but we have the truth on our side, and we have the means to disseminate that truth. More importantly, we have Blog Talk Radio, we have the internet, we have Facebook, we have Twitter. Well, some of us have Twitter. It doesn't look like I have, but everybody else has.
Can't can't you get yourself another
Yeah, you know, I can create more Twitter accounts. That isn't the problem. And it's only a minor inconvenience, but because it's a free service, I don't really have any leverage. So if somebody goes to Twitter support and says, "Do us a favor, pal, and suspend this account, make sure he doesn't get it back," there's very little I can do about it. So the fact is that it's served its purpose as far as I'm concerned, and I have other means now in order to make my voice heard, whereas previously I was only ever on Twitter, and I'm sure he thought that if he could shut me down on Twitter, then it would make my life very difficult. Well, okay, I'm sure he wants to suppress the message, but the message is just not going to be suppressed. The genie is out of the bottle, and you can't unlearn these things once you've learnt about them. So he's out of luck, I think. We are on a roll now. We are getting the message out, and we are being more and more effective every day. And I'm sure that they are starting to realize it, which is why we're starting to see these things.
I agree, Tim. I just like, there's a little comment, and I've got to thank EDL Winks, and it's really appreciated. And she's saying, EDL Winks saying, "EDL Radio, the best show ever. Daz, myself, Hayden, always look forward to listening to it every week. Thank you for your continuing support." Just to say, people like yourself, EDL Winks, Hayden, and Daz, it's your support that keeps us going. We continue to go strong with your support. So thank you so much. It's really appreciated. Isn't it nice, Kel, when you see lovely comments in the chat room? So thank you so much. And, of course, everybody out there that's listening to the show, all your support. And, it just spurs us forward, you know, to keep up the good work. Go ahead, Kel.
No, I was just going to say, did you have your...
What you going to say?
We forgot to acknowledge the people joining us, but I was also wondering if you had your geezer nut today.
I what?
Agador, take it away.
Well, a geezer nap, Jeff and audience, is when people who are of a certain age take a small siesta in the middle of the day to refresh and recharge their batteries. Back to you.
And I bet he does, Agador. There's Jeff napping on the couch in the middle of the day taking a geezer nap.
And
there's
Kel
on Skype ringing him up saying, "Have you taken your medication today, Jeff?"
I've got no choice. I've got to. I'm on steroids now. I'm on steroids, and I'll tell you what, I'm growing a lovely pair of man boobs now, Kel.
Oh, my God.
Okay, that's two visuals in one show that I really didn't want. Thanks, Jeff.
Well, it is after the watershed time, so...
But I was here for this one, and now I'm going to have the nightmares tonight. I know it.
Sorry, George.
Skin.
Oh, dear. I brought the show down, haven't I? What am I like? I've lowered the tone.
It's because you didn't take your geezer nap.
No, I haven't had a geezer nap. Oh, geezer nap. Now, I've never heard this saying before, a geezer nap.
Okay, you know what? Agador and I were holding Luchadora's feet to the fire for that one because her and Eliza were doing their show MP91 Freedom Quest last night on the Radio Jihad Network 7 days. A week.
Yes.
And
7 days a week, ladies
and
gentlemen.
She was falling behind because she had not taken her geezer nap. And I think Agador and I just about fell on the floor laughing. Like, what?
Fantastic.
Okay. Okay. Where are we?
We were on the English Defence League radio show, girl, and we're going strong.
Can I just throw something in here? EDL Minx just said that she plans, as soon as Hayden is fit again, all right, she plans on getting a small USA and a small Canadian flag to pin to his EDL flag. For us, and I just think that's beautiful. Thank you, Minx. You guys are all in our hearts. You know, we love you to death. Go back to you guys.
And that is so true. And what I like too is that there are numerous people that when they go to the demonstrations, they wear a little red for Canada. So what Minx is doing is very moving. Absolutely, thanks, Minx.
Oh, God, Kel, I've just had Paul Alexander say, Jeff is now a double D. Oh, my goodness, Paul.
Oh, dear.
Hey, you know what? I shop at Victoria's Secret. Do you want a particular birthday present?
Jeff, you know that you're not going to live this down. Nobody's going to let you forget you said that you have now developed man boobs on your show. You do know that, right? I mean,
amazing.
It's one thing to admit it privately to somebody close to you, but you don't admit to something that wild and God, I'm going to have nightmares tonight with that kind of image in my head.
Well, George, just imagine him in a Victoria's Secret nightmare.
What you see what you get, you know.
Hey, Jeff, do you want to borrow one of my chemises? You and Daz can fight over it.
My goodness me, I've started something off. What am I like, Kel?
And people say, I'm wacky?
Oh,
no, I can't help what steroids do to you, Jill. Do you know what
you
I mean?
You would never fit into one of my chemises. Jeff would, though. Okay. Just to let you know, Jeff, that we're down to our last 10 minutes of talking points. And, okay, we really want to thank people that have joined Jeff and myself tonight. And, of course, our very special guest, and that is George of Firefox News Online, who has a radio program tonight at 9 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. Please try to be there. He has a very, very special guest on there. It's going to be quite the show. And, of course, we want to thank the panel, and that, of course, is our very own sleek one, and that is Cat Strangler 101. And that is Tim. And, of course, our very own unpleasant blind guy, and that is our Agador. So thanks to all you guys for being in the studio with Jeff and myself. We really want to thank people, though, in the chat room. And that is A12 Iggy Mom. And I love her too. She's been this over
She's
there
great.
At the Hall of the Hall. She is just absolutely fantastic. Bigfoot, of course. And go to Bigfoot's place, his blog. He is really, really covering Operation American Spring. And
good man.
Oh, yeah, doing a great job of that.
That he's taken. Yeah, oh, gosh, yeah. We want to thank Kath, and we want to thank EDL Minx, and that's my sister. And she is Hayden's mummy. So, Minx, thanks so much for being here and keeping us updated on how Hayden is doing. We always want to thank Eric Kyle. We have numerous guests in here, Jeff. Fantastic stuff going on. We have Holger Awakens. And
Holger, man.
Yeah, Holger. I don't know if he has a show this Saturday night. He usually has a show Saturday night, 10 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. But if he doesn't, we'll kind of forgive him. Alexander, who has his own great program going on right there. His own blog, it's fantastic. And, oh, gee, the page is jumping on me, Jeff. Darn.
Mm.
We want to thank Porky Steve and Richard Millington, and I better try to get these in before I lose the chat room, which I think is going on. If I have lost anybody, I am apologetic, but Jeff, we have somebody who's going to join us right now, and that is our very own Holder. Hi, Holder.
Hey.
Well, hello, Cal.
The man.
Jeff.
Hey, Holder. What's
happening?
Tim
and Agador and the whole gang.
Hi,
How is everyone?
Good to have you here, Holder.
Yeah, good.
Doing good,
Holder.
How are you?
We're infidelity fine, brother.
Yeah.
Infidelity fine.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, Kel, I have a question for you that was asked of me, and I didn't know how to answer the person. What is Islamity?
Islamity? It's mass Islamity. We have to stop the insanity.
Ah.
But
good.
Holder, it is
stop bugging me about it.
Holder, it's great to hear
Sunday,
your voice. What's
confused.
On your mind?
Well, I wanted to, if it wasn't for a very special reason, I wouldn't want to try and plug a show. But, you know, we're talking about, you guys have done a fantastic job today talking about one of the most horrific attacks by Islamists against the free world in Lee Rigby. And we in the United States had an incident where we lost 22 of our Navy SEALs and 8 of our soldiers in an attack by the Taliban in Afghanistan called Extortion 17. Mm-hmm. And I just wanted everybody to know that I've been fortunate enough to get Charles Strange to join me on my show on the 31st of May, so that's a week from this Saturday. His son, Michael Strange, was on the Chinook that night that went down and so forth. So I just found out yesterday that Charles is going to be able to join us for that show, and I think it's going to be the reason I really wanted to bring it up is because Charles Strange is a very, very blunt man. And we are going to blow the lid off Extortion 17 that night. So I just wanted to throw it out just because I know it, next week when you guys are on this time of the week, it's going to get pretty, you know, close to the show time. So I appreciate you letting me call in, Kellen.
Should be good, man. Should be good.
Yeah.
Oh, it will be fantastic. And I just put the link in the chat room for everybody. Tom Trento of the United West. It a wonderful, wonderful program. It's 3 hours long, but believe me, this is something that you want to sit down and watch, and this is all about Extortion 17. So, Holge, you are the best, and I'm so looking forward to that
well
program.
Well done, Holge. You can come on here, and you can plug at any time. We always plug you anyway, Holge, you know what I mean? It's always great to have you on the show. You do great shows. You do great work. And something, guys, if you get a chance to listen to Hold Your Awakens next week on the 31st, you will not be disappointed. This man knows how to put the show on. So God bless
and
you. Thanks for calling in tonight, Hold. Always a pleasure.
You bet, guys, and great job on the show. And I'm just really, really sorry to realize that so few people in America have a clue who Lee Rigby was, and that's just a bloody shame. But that just shows how this stuff is being suppressed across this world. And so I really appreciate you guys putting this show up to remind us again of the atrocity of Islam. All right, thanks, guys.
Thank you so much, Holge.
Yeah,
you
thanks.
Take care. God bless you, brother. So there you go, guys. I said there's a great show coming up this week, next weekend on the 31st. And as I say, when Holger puts the show up, I guarantee you guys, you will not be disappointed. He's great. He's, what can I say, a great man. Just a little comment. I just want to just make, uh, just just before it rolls back up on me. Richard Millington said, is this about the EDL? He said, one of the best things about an EDL demo is to see all the flags from all over the world. We are not alone. No surrender ever. And I just wanted to make that little comment because, you know, Kel, we've often talked about the flags, the people, the pins that they're wearing from, and people, you know, wear these different flags and badges from all over the world at our demos, and I just wanted to highlight that. So, Richard, thanks for that in the chat room there. So, yes, we are not alone. We've, you know, we are the world. We support the world. The world is supporting what we do. They're standing with us. They know how important it is. And with your continuing support, it's so appreciated. You know, I just get overwhelmed sometimes, Cal, when you think about the enormity of such a short time, really, relatively short, that we've come such a long way, that we've really engaged with this scourge, and we are sort of starting to see a little few, you know, lights above the surface, and we're picking it up, and people like Colger, people like yourself, Kel, the Radio Jihad Network, so many people, you know, have come to the forefront and we'll stand together. And it's just, I don't know, it's just, it's fantastic. Would you not agree, Tim? It's just amazing in such a relatively short time that the way the world has gathered together, you know, people from all over.
Well, it is, and it's very encouraging. I remember when I first started getting involved in the counter-jihad movement, I used to speak to people who thought that the whole concept of Islam was just so big and so scary that we'd never be able to make any leeway against it at all. But in a surprisingly short space of time, I have seen what seems to be the start of a sea change in people's attitudes towards Islam. There's a lot more people seem to be a lot more informed. And I get a great sense of optimism whenever I talk to people, which I didn't used to get, even as little as 6 months ago. So I think we're making a much, much bigger difference than you might have thought 6 months ago. I think things are really starting to happen, and people are starting to come together and realising that we have to act. We have to do it now. And that sense of urgency is now becoming more apparent in people.
If I may interject.
Go ahead, George.
Agador, absolutely.
Kind of,
or was that George?
George.
He was the other American.
Okay, first of all, yes, shows like this are necessary. Get your Twitter, get another Twitter account, by the way, Jeff.
Yeah.
And, you know,
it was me. Yeah, it was me.
These things are necessary. Shows like this have to be around. Okay? They have to be around because people need to be informed. They need to know what Islam is and is not. I can break it down in three simple sentences. What Islam is, a cult. What Islam isn't, a religion. What Islam is a pain in my ass.
Exactly, and George,
it's like a hemorrhoid.
I would agree.
It is so wonderful that you could join us tonight, George. We so appreciate it, Jeff. And but
well, I certainly
we
do.
Are right out of time. We are down to our
Kel.
3 minutes, Jeff.
I'd like to thank you all, guys. Kel, as usual, to the show tonight, the production, the slides. God bless you, Kel. Great job as usual. Tim, for your input and your contribution to the show as usual. Outstanding. Agador, awesome as usual. Thank you so much for being here this evening. And George, yourself, tonight. Absolutely fantastic you've been on the show tonight as well. And then everybody in the chat room, thank you so much for great links. And as I say, you know, I've been following you and I've been pointing things out to our listeners as well. This
all
is
right,
a great
Sally
place.
Fields.
Yeah. absolutely fantastic. So, and of course, to all our listeners out there, thank you so much for your continued support for the English Defence League radio show. So I'm going to, well, I could have to call it down now. I don't care what I've got, about 3 minutes now.
That English lady's going to be speaking in your ear again.
Yes.
It's like if you're using Blog Talk Radio. Now get lost.
Amazing.
No, that's for my show.
Couldn't use this.
They got to use a Blog Talk Radio. Now get lost, you drongo.
I love it.
Brilliant.
That's all, folks.
Thank you so much. Actually, I'm down to the last couple of minutes. I ain't got the little lady whispering in my ear yet. They're whispering me sweet nothings. But anyway, thank you so much, everybody, for joining. And I hope you've enjoyed the show tonight. We'll be back again tomorrow night. As I say, tonight was a little bit solemn, you know, discussing the circumstances. But, yeah, she's whispering me ear now. Tonight, so
and
I hope you've enjoyed. And we will do this again next year. We'll do it, and we will get a memorial for
Word.
The movie. We'll fight for it every step of the way. So for myself, Kel, Tim, Agador, George, and anybody else that I might have forgot, God bless you. Take care. Stay safe. No surrender ever. And we have got to, I've got to go underground. She's just telling me I've got 60 seconds, guys. So thank you so much, guys. And we'll see you tomorrow. Good night, guys.
And remember, Lee.
Oh. Go, Kel.
No.
Would you say, Kel?
Remember, Lee Rigby. A year ago today, a Fusilier was slaughtered in the streets of London. We will never forget, ever.
Amen, Kel. Thank you so much. Okay, I've got about 40 seconds now, so we're going underground and we'll be back tomorrow. Good night, guys. I guess they say no surrender ever. Good night, guys. Good night, Kel.
I'm too busy dodging between the flags to see here, so what you